it's Kishani. How do I have? Staying in front of them. Lord, I prefer to talk to you. Not that I don't know, I like you very much, but I actually, I really enjoy talking to the Lord and singing to the Lord. When I talk to people, I go, what am I going to say? But I thought that what the Lord laid on my heart is what I began to call holy wounds. Holy wounds. I genuinely believe that God does allow into our life wounds, hurts. It's my ancient Korean accent. I can never get rid of it. I'm the native mom, that's not how you pronounce it. Salmon. Share with you my, everyone's got it, having lived a little bit of life and having been in ministry, what I learned is that just about every single person has father-mother issue. Every single person, because our parents, they were on L-clip when they had us. Yeah, they didn't have much experience, yeah. And therefore, they did many things right, and there's some things wrong. So we are born to a fallen world, and we are born to a broken world, and so I had my mother issue that many people that I know are very familiar with, because I was finding healing through the people that I know. But I can honestly say to you now that I think God has done a great work in me. So when I think about when I talk about these things, it doesn't hurt that much. Before, this rage would come out, this upset inside of me. It's not happening anymore. So I think it's because God has healed me quite a bit, you know. So I'm not going to go into all this, detail, because we all have, most women have mother issue. Most of us have mother, and many men have father issue and mother issue, yeah. So I found that there are three keys to my journey of healing as well, and of redemption. So all Christian suffering is redemptive. God allowed it into our life. He really, really, nothing happens to us by accident. That when God allowed it into our life, it's meant to be redemptive. It's meant to be a place of overcoming and becoming a place of power and healing in our life and through our life into the lives of our people. So all suffering is redemptive in a Christian life, and so I stand by it. And but I found for my life, and I think it's quite typical in many people's lives, that I found three keys. First key is supernatural. So when I was born again as a 15-year-old teenager, I already had a mother issue. And my mother comes from an ancient world where sons are better than daughters, men are above women. And she just expected me to know, you're born to serve my sons. And my brother is there. Yeah. You're born to serve my sons. What are you doing not serving your brothers, Yeah. And it doesn't make me angry anymore. It's like, it's okay. Yeah. It doesn't hurt me. Yeah. But when I was younger, I was deeply hurt. Yeah. I remember that's how my mother was raised. She was raised that way. I mean, when I heard about how she was raised, I thought, I forgive you. No wonder. Yeah. But so I had to deal with it. And we don't know how to deal with it as a child. As an adult, you can. You can process it. You can forgive and so on. But as a child, you don't know how. So you grow with this rage inside. And a certain disconnection from the family. And actually rejecting the family. Because you reject me like that, I reject you. Yeah. So that's what I did. But I was born again at 15. And without me asking, without me praying for this sort of thing, I didn't really understand these things. I had a dream one night as a child, as a 15-year-old kid. I had a dream, and in the dream, I was with my mother, and my heart was blackened with bruise. And in the dream, I said to my mom, look at my heart, it's black with bruising. And I was kind of telling her, it's you did this. And normally my mother, I tried to talk to her before, but you know, she's one of the ancient generation where they don't know how to say sorry to your children. Parents, say sorry to your children. Say sorry when you've done something wrong. When you didn't do something wrong, just say sorry. It'll save them from a lot of inner healing from 11 adults. Just say, forgive me. It'll cause a lot of unnecessary hurts from accumulating in their life and damaging them. Anyway, but in the dream, my mother could never say sorry. She would deny. So I just gave up. In real life, I gave up. But in the dream, I'm so certain God allowed it in my life. So in the dream, and my mom, in the dream, hugged me and said, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. And I just was crying in the dream. And I woke up and I was okay. So there was a huge portion of healing took place in my life. And I'm thinking, oh, I feel so much better. I feel so good. And but it was not a complete healing, but it was the beginning of a healing. So something is just supernaturally God does it because he knows you can't do it yourself. Yeah. But some things he expects you to walk the journey, search, find, pray, and go through the struggle because that will make you grow and mature and become stronger. Yeah. And the second thing was, and then sometimes you may back them in the corner in your life, some certain frustrations or relationships that's not working out well or failures or whatever it is. Sometimes you're back into a corner and or some pain in your life. Mostly it's pain in your life of some kind, yeah. And then that does it. You're backed into a corner, you have no choice but to confront. Because when you confront whatever it is that this space, why is my life not working out? Why is this the circling around in my life and why am I not breaking through? So I was at that stage, I think a few years later, when I was a bit of was I married at the time? Maybe in my early 20s or something. And I remember that's when I began to search for inner healing ministries. I'm in pain, and I thought I need to forgive my parents. I know I was healed quite a bit when I was a child, but I need to heal more, and I don't know how to forgive my mother. And that search took me to all kinds of inner healing ministries and books and so on. And one day, this man, Charles Kraft from Fuller Seminary from US, he's an anthropologist, intellectual giant, missiologist. And Fuller Seminary at the time was quite conservative. So they were very wary of the Holy Spirit move and so on. But this man, Holy Spirit fell upon him. He began to cast out demons. In the Bible school, and what can you do? So it's happening. So pretty controversial, but it began to happen in this very gentle intellectual man's life. And then he began to search the scripture. He began to say, and most people in the deliverance ministry find out that you have to go deeper into deeper issues of healing in your life. And he also discovered the same thing. So. Dealing with demons, it's not going to solve the problem unless you go into the place of why did the demons invest in anyone's life. Mm-hmm. And almost always there's an issue of forgiveness and repentance. Yeah. And so I was searching it, and somehow I ended up in a seminar. And this, and that, I think there's a second key that I found that he said something. That bing, the click, it really clicked. He talked about, for me, Word of God does it. Yeah, normally when the Word of God comes, I get healed and I get set free. And most of us are like that, yeah? And so I remember he talked about Job and how just Job's life turned upside down, inside out. And he was so disoriented. If you read the book of Job, the man is disoriented. He's a holy man, but when the three friends come, just everything inside begins to surface and come out. And his confusion, his depression, his anger, his disorientation comes out. And he begins like, this is not the God I know. I need to meet with you. I need to talk to, I need an interview with you. That's what he begins to demand. Very honest. Very, honest. I think at times when God brings pain into our life, God is trying to get to a place of honesty in our inward spirit. Yeah? Truth shall set you free. Truth in Hebrew means reality. Reality. Real. When Dawn and Francie, yeah, when they shared the feedback that I was, oh, it's real. It's real. It's real. So when the Bible talks about truth, we're talking about reality. We're talking about naked honesty before God and with myself and with the people that we need to deal with. And coming to a place of honesty, that's a journey. That's a journey because it's something that we can shrink from because it's painful. But Job got there, yeah? The three friends helped him. And what God says to Job, he says, I run the universe. Do you know how the snow, the rain, and hail, clouds, do you know the animal kingdom, how they give birth? Do you know how the stars? And I used to think, what are you talking about, Lord? What are you talking about? This man is asking about his life. But what God was saying to Job was, if I know how to run the universe, can you trust me that I know how to run your life? When I heard that, it just all clicked. It all clicked. Lord, I trust you. All that, what I feel with mistreatment and injustice and wrongness and injury and all that, Lord, I trust you that those things were permitted into my life and under your care, and I trust you. You know what you're doing with my life. And that was a second key to my healing. And I began to relax. Yeah. And that was a major step where I could just let go of many, many offenses. And there were many questions I had. I didn't have to ask those questions anymore. Like Job didn't have any more questions after God spoke to him. Yeah? I shut my mouth. And I repented in dust and ashes. Yeah. And the revelation of God. And His power, but His care, His personal care. And I didn't have any more questions. Great healing in my life. And this third component that I found, that I think, is an ongoing one that God expects me to walk in. What I found was that I receive healing through the body of Christ. And if I do not receive through the healing that comes through God's people, there's a healing that I will not receive. God will do something supernaturally for me. God will speak to me as I search and as I walk with Him to find answers. But there is a component of healing in my life that God will give to me through His people, through His imperfect people, people who are broken, people who are wounded, people who are not perfect. But through these people, God will allow the healing to flow into my life. And if I do not receive the healing, I will not be healed. That's what I discovered. And what I also found was that the healing that comes from the body of Christ does not come from holy and almighty, all put together people. It doesn't. Actually, when I see wounded, when I see people who are hurting, when I see people with the incredible pain in their life and their past, I mean, nobody put their hand up, oh, I want suffering. Nobody does that. They find us. And we are born into life that we didn't ask for. Did anyone ask, I want to be born? Nobody said, I want to be born. We were born without a choice. Did you choose your parents? Nobody chose your father and mother. We didn't choose our DNA. We didn't choose our genes. We didn't choose which country, language, or the century, or the time, or the circumstance we are born into. We are born into it, which means it's an assignment from God. And actually, I don't know why I'm talking about this.
I, yeah.
as I encounter, I mean, I call it an encounter. That's how I feel. I encounter not only the Lord, I encounter God's people. And I used to think, oh, some almighty person from, I don't know, from overseas somewhere with a briefcase. I appreciate, I preach all our guest preachers and all our guest speakers. I really, really do. I honor them. And but I've learned something. I've learned that I find that I'm healed the most by the people who are wounded the most. People who are the most broken, and they look for God's healing in their life. And from them flows great healing that heals me. That's what I discovered. And I don't find it from people who are all put together, all good, and all holy. And in fact, those people, they scare me. You win. I can't compete. And I remember I have Thursday ladies that I meet with in the morning. Even though I think many years ago we started the meeting, because I wanted to actually be available for the mothers who are you know, older than me, 10, 20 30 years older than me. I just wanted to be available for them and not be nice and all that. But I now look back and I realize God has healed me. The mother wound that I was carrying, the mother issues that I was carrying through these mothers that are hurting. Oh, I'm thinking, Lord, I thought I was trying to serve you and be kind to people. I'm thinking, no, God placed me there so that I will heal. Because being parents, I found that being parents is kind of ongoing joy and ongoing suffering. Yeah. Never pain-free. So parents we love our children, but we suffer. Parents are suffering, So I find that mothers suffer. And what I also discovered is that when mothers suffer over their children, and I really observe them, I will listen, and I saw how they really love their children, want forgiveness in their children. Because sometimes we children are offended, we don't want to forgive. We want our parents to suffer. We don't want to pay back. We want that. Yeah, it's something in us that does that. It's just not right. And I saw that mothers suffer. And I think once I asked the question, do you want your children to forgive you? Would you do anything? Yes. Every single one. Yes. If I knew any better when I was younger raising them up, I would have done that. But I didn't know better, so I didn't do better. Now I know. And I remember looking at them and thinking, I was thinking about my mother. My mother. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I forgive my mother. In some strange, very vicarious way, I receive this repentance from the mothers, and I forgive. I remember being set free on that particular Thursday, just in a greater degree, and the healing that flowed into my life, you know what I found was when we receive wounds, yeah, I mean, we all receive them, yeah. Either they can become holy, put upon the altar of the Lord, become a holy offering. When it's put upon the altar, the Lord receives our broken hearts. And a broken, fragmented life. He receives. and our life can become a channel of God's healing. Or if we refuse to put it upon the altar, if we want to have revenge and simmer in our anger, enjoy a little bit of vengeance, spirit of vengeance a little bit, then to that degree our wounds become stench that grieves God and actually pollutes people. That's what I found. And when I have like fake plants, I'm lazy. So when you have a real plant, I water it. You gotta look after it. So I don't want to do that. So I got like a fake plant. So they look nice. I can wash them every so often, maybe once a year. I put it back. It can grow anywhere in the house, or it will stay still. So it just makes the house look a bit better. But because these days the put made in China probably. It's so real, so good. I mean, why buy a real plant? Get fake ones. So when I go to a shopping center, I'm pushing the trolley, and I see something that looks so real, green, and looks so real. But I want to know. Something in me want to know if it's real or fake. So I actually go and actually kind of cut it a little bit. Bruises, it's real. If it doesn't respond at all, it's all fine, it's plastic. Yeah. The real thing. The real thing, when there is a cut, when there's pressure, it'll bruise. It'll bleed. But it gives a healing balm, yeah? And it gives off the fragrance that is beautiful. The fake thing, it can last probably, I don't know, 10 years. it won't bear fruit. It won't bruise. You don't have to water it. But it will never give sweet-smelling fragrance. It will never give oil of healing. And I believe that God has designed our lives in such a way that we, in our little way, Jesus became the bread that's broken. Bread that's broken. So that he becomes food to save lives, many lives. And in our own little way, I believe, as we follow Jesus, our lives become broken bread that will go feed the broken people and cause them to live and not die. And I don't think it's possible unless we, as we follow Jesus, we receive our little portion of breaking. And so we were thinking about the new wine. Yeah, grapes crushed become wine, yeah. Olive pressed become oil. And out of these lives, life flows and become food and drink to the people who need life. Jesus, you know, when we take Holy Communion, but when we take Holy Communion, we are talking about Jesus' broken body, blood poured out, and he becomes the holy atonement offering upon the altar, and he becomes a worship unto God, and becomes source of life to us. We, in a little way, I believe, we in a little way, as we participate and follow Jesus and learn. This is my philosophy in life. The ultimate thing I believe God is looking for in our life is not our comfort. If God wanted us to have an easy, comfortable life, take us to heaven, why leave us here? God is after something else. I believe God is after us achieving a union with His Son, Jesus Christ, in such a way, like Apostle Paul's confession, that I may know Him, Christ, the power of His resurrection, fellowship with His sufferings, being conformed even unto His death. A level of union that you don't, that you would go through if you truly loved Him. I believe that's what God is looking for. And I don't think it is possible. I don't think it is possible unless we, in our small way, participate in His crucified life, in his death and resurrection. And I think better stop. Yeah. I'm thinking, what can I say in conclusion? I don't have a conclusion. maybe I can say this, yeah. We get broken in relationships, we do. We get broken in relationships. But we are only mended in relationships. We are only mended in relationships. Yeah? And I am discovering that we only grow mature in relationships. I wish it wasn't so. I wish there was a shortcut, easier way, because people are people, including myself, are the most difficult factor in life. If there was no people in church, boy, it'd be perfect. It's just God and me, you know. but God, in His manifold wisdom, placed us in relationships. Yeah. With people that we may not always want, even in our own immediate families and even in a circle of relatives and you know, we always have the embarrassing uncle, you know. the in-laws and the outlaws, yeah. Oh boy, we also need mother outlaw sort of issue healed. God, I've got a story to tell. I'm not working on it. I'm getting somewhere. When I'm better ready, maybe I'll share it. So there's no conclusion. This is my story. Yeah, I hope it'll help you in some way. Amen.
You can see I live with this intense person. You know, you probably appreciate, you know, whenever we get into argument, the longer we engage in argument, I feel I'm wrong. See the level of passion, yeah? Okay. So yeah, I'm married to someone very, very passionate, and you can see, you know, she's the what do you call it? The factor in my life, the greatest blessing in my life. I truly do, Anna. Yeah. Thank you, darling, for sharing so honestly. She's so brutally honest. Whenever I'm kind of, you know, pig-headed, straight away, prick the bubble, straight away. So praise God. So I hope that actually, brought some truth. And we journey on. Tonight, is there still a prayer, a free sort of prayer? Oh no? All right. Okay, I'm gonna ask Kishan to. Do you have any announcements or?
No, what
do you
announcements. Do next? Everyone get into your small groups.
There will be some photos.
That's tomorrow.
Okay, I can make it. It's okay. Just this is on Bianca's behalf, but just a reminder for tomorrow morning that breakfast is at 8 o'clock, like it was today, but from 9 through to 10 o'clock. Is our pack up and check out time, and we must be out by 10. So if that means you need to bring bags up here or just chuck them in the car, please do so by 10 o'clock. Okay, make sure you're out of that building or out of your room, okay? And then I think tonight, just with the small groups, maybe if the leaders can come up again, and then everyone just follow the leader wherever they go for small groups. You can stay in here if you like and set up chairs. I don't know if there's many other areas to go, but if the leaders want to come out, and then everyone else can follow. Supper is at 9:45, so we've got a little bit of time, but feel free to stay in your groups during supper as well, if you want to kind of share some more as well. There's no rush. We don't want to kind of say you got to stop at 9:45, so please take the time that you need. Okay?
Tomorrow morning service is 10 o'clock as usual.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. So we go to the group. Bless you. What time is the supper tonight?